Oh, Hare Krishna. I want to make a special effort to greet Brij Kishore Sharma. Please, Brij Kishore, just stand up so that the devotees can see you.
Haribo! Haribo!
Brij Kishore Sharma ji is a very nice brahmana from Uchakaon village, who has protected our Kartik Brata by requesting one temple to switch off their loudspeaker. this is very merciful friend of the fallen. Hare Krishna. I would like to start this part of the morning session by requesting our talented Jai Gopal to sing a song from Prarthana, a prayer collection of Narottam Das Thakur, which was particularly dear to Srila Prabhupada. It is a song which will open our attention to the next essential point in our Bhajan Rahasya meditation, which is an eagerness for Krishna and for Krishna Bhajan. This is the translation of the song. O Lord Hari, I have spent my life uselessly. Having obtained a human birth and not worshipped Radha and Krishna, what have I done? What have I done? I have knowingly drunk poison. And the last verse I will read to you. Jai Gopal, because we couldn't organize the translations and the songs, he will only sing a few lines of the song. Why don't you sing 1 and 4, Jai Gopal?
Hari Hari Bifale Janama Goainu Hari Hari Bifale Manusha janam paya Radha Krishna na bhajiya Manusha janam paya Radha Krishna na bhajiya Janiya shuniya visha Kainu Shaniya Shuniya Vishakainu Janiya Shuniya Vishakainu Janiya Shuniya Golokera prema dhana Hari nama sankirtana Golokera prema dhana Hari nama sankirtana Roti na janmila kene Rati na janmila ke neta Rati na janmila ke neta rati na janmila ke neta sansara bishanane divane shihi anjwane sansara bishanane anjwale judai te na koinu yupa judai te na koinu yupa judai te na koinu yupa na koinu yupa brajendra nandanaye shachi suta hoilo se brajendra nandanaye shachi suta hoilo se bolo na tachilo hari name udharilo tara shakshi jagar mada tara shakshi jagar mada tara shakshi jagar Tara Shakshi Jagai Mada Haha Prabhu Nanda Suta Vrishavanu Suta Yuta Ha Prabhu Nanda Suta Vrishavanu Suta Yuta Ha Prabhu Nanda Suta Vrishavanu Suta Yuta Narottama Das ko na te liyo Rangopal. Narottama Das ko na te liyo Rangopal. Dhoma bina ke ache ama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare This bhajan moves us into a very very important area of our own worship of Lord Krishna. In the last line Narottam Das Thakur expresses, O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Brishabhanu, please be merciful to me now. Please repeat after me, O Lord,
O Lord,
please do not push me away
from your reddish lotus feet.
For who is my beloved except for you? Yes. It's an intense request, a request which also is formulated in the Hare Krishna mantra. My Lord, please accept me. It is this area of our bhajan which we can call eagerness, which makes the whole heartbeat of our bhajan. If a person has no eagerness, something when placed before him is of no value. For instance, if I'm not sufficiently thirsty, this cup will hold no interest. Gopal, Gopal! Without thirst, a cup of water is uninteresting. Without hunger, a meal is disgusting even. You know, some of you have what we call the fast auto. The fast auto is a disease where whatever you put in your body is given to the law of gravitation within 2 seconds. If such people who have the fast auto gravitational problem, I don't want to talk so directly, then a meal is disgusting. Krishna consciousness, and here comes now a surprise for you, becomes of less interest for a person who has no eagerness in his heart. Baladev Vidya Bhushana has defined Krishna consciousness in one word. He has said Krishna consciousness means thirst. Because without having thirst for Krishna or eagerness, you will never go into Krishna consciousness. You will not actually make advantage of your stay in Vrindavan. You will eagerness is really what gives you the ability to taste. Once again, eagerness is what gives you the ability to taste. Now, to highlight this very, very important subject matter, eagerness for bhajan is expressed in the Bhajan Rahasya in one very nice verse, which happened to be one of the favorite verses of Srila Prabhupada. I personally have seen Srila Prabhupada in his closed rooms, through the window, chanting this verse with great emotions. And I will try to chant it in the melody of Srila Prabhupada for you.
Krishna tvadiya padapanga chapanjadantam adyeva me vishatu manasada jahansa prana prayana samaye kapavata pittai kantavarodana vido smaranam kutaste. Dear Krishna, may the swan of my mind enter the network of the stems of your lotus feet on this very day. I don't want to wait. Today it should happen that I become absorbed in you. For when it is time for the life airs to leave my body, when I am dying on my deathbed, my throat will be choked up by the disruption of the body's mucus, wind and bile. How will it be possible for me to think of you then? Bhaktivinoda Thakur puts this into our language. The days of my life are being wasted. As I immerse myself in the daily grind of material life, one day has gone, 1 hour has gone, 1 minute have gone. I have not become Krishna conscious. If only my mind would worship you. So I pray that the swan of my mind may be caught in the cage made by the stems and roots of your lotus feet and always remain in the ocean of spiritual delight. He says, at the time of death, I am anyways useless. My mind will be distressed. My tongue will not be able to pronounce your holy name. If I die in this condition, how will I be able to fulfill my innermost desire to attain you? Eagerness, dear devotees, eagerness. Now, the eagerness comes if we begin to associate with the author of this verse, which is Kula Shikhar. Hear a little bit about Kula Shikhar's eagerness and try to think about it, what it meant. King Kula Shikhar was a king of one big area. He had a really large contingent of army soldiers, and he would every day hear and listen to Krishna Katha before he would go on court, in his court, royal court. Now one day it happened that one Brahmana read to him the Ramayana, and he heard how this is a wonderful narrative. He heard how Lord Rama had reached the Dandakaranya forest in his exile, and how he was surrounded by 10,000 yakshas who gave him battle. And immediately when King Kula Shikhar heard this, he imagined the Lord being alone and needing support. He immediately jumped up, ran to his generals and said, "Ready the army, we will march in 1 hour towards Dandakaranya." So the generals didn't have time to think, they just put their orders out, and whatever could be organized in that 1 hour of the army followed Kula Shikhar, who was riding on his black horse in the front, chanting, "Ram, Ram, I'm coming, hold the position, I'm coming." And soon everyone knew, oops, we are here, we're following our king, who is a little bit too much absorbed in Ram Leela at the moment. So the generals devised a plan. They sent a messenger ahead who then turned around and came towards Kula Shikhar and said, "King, good news! Ram has annihilated all the 10,000 demons alone. He has multiplied in 10,000 forms and has killed all of them. We can go home now. At this, hearing this, Kula Shikar came out of his internal consciousness back to the external consciousness and silently went with his army back to his capital. Now you can imagine such incidents happened again and again, because Kula Shikar is a very big example of eagerness for Krishna, meeting Krishna and serving Krishna, that finally the ministers became very much worried for the safe and sane rule of the country. So they made a plot. They stole some precious necklace and jewels from the deity's Shringa room, and then spread the rumors that the Vaishnavas who had last been seen visiting Kula Shikar had been seen breaking into the treasury of the deities and stealing the missing items. And these Vaishnavas had gone already, so they could not say anything, and everyone thought this is true. But Kula Shikar said, "Wait, you have offended the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas will never steal from the Lord. I will prove to the whole kingdom that what the ministers have said is a lie. I will wait for the judgment of God to show the ministers wrong. What I will do is I will grab with a bare arm into a clay vase or pot in which a dangerous agitated cobra is. And when the cobra bites me, then the Vaishnavas have stolen. When the cobra does not bite me, the Vaishnavas have not stolen." "Oh no," said the ministers, "don't do this, king." But it was too late. Before a very worried crowd, King Kula Shikar grabbed into the pot with the cobra, pulled out his hand, the cobra was around the hand, but did not bite. So it was proven. The Vaishnavas were not guilty. Now another thing happened. The Brahmin who had been told that that he should not read from the Ramayana passages where the king might get an idea that Ram needs his support. This Brahmana had been told like this: just skip the passages. Fell sick, and his son had to do the reading, and his son was not informed. So the son came to a passage where Lord Rama was railing his armies on the bank of the Indian Ocean to build the bridge over to Lanka and battle with Ravan. And so the son was reading this, and then Ram arrived at the ocean. And he told his men, "We need every one of you for this upcoming siege of Lanka." And immediately, Kula Shikar, who was so eager, jumped up again, rallied his army, and this time could not be stopped. He reached the Indian Ocean, and when he reached it, he jumped down from his horse, and he ran into the ocean and said, "Ram, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming." And it is said, since he ran into the ocean in full armor, he lost his consciousness and drowned. Started to drown. At this moment, Lord Rama appeared before him and lifted his devotee out of the ocean and brought him back to the bank of the ocean. Ram saved Kula Shikar. Shri Ramachandra ki, Shri Krishna Giriraj Maharaj ki. Yes, they're very reliable. Krishna is very reliable. So this is an example of eagerness, and this eagerness is the proper mood in which a devotee can obtain Krishna consciousness. There is a lecture about from Srila Prabhupada about eagerness. He said in this lecture that he has taken the phrase Krishna consciousness from a verse of Rupa Goswami, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi. The verse says, if Krishna consciousness can be gotten anywhere, it must be immediately gotten. And Prabhupada says, and there is a price. The price is your eagerness to have it. Krishna is not poor, and he says, similarly, the Krishna seller, the devotee, is not poor. But you have to pay in coins of eagerness. This is very important. Eagerness in your bhajan, eagerness in your Krishna consciousness, eagerness even in your stay at the Govardhan retreat and the rest of your stay in Vrindavan will be the key which will unlock the real Vrindavan to your eyes. Without eagerness, there is no love. Without eagerness, there is no taste in Krishna consciousness. Without eagerness, there is even no Mangal Arati, because you want to sleep during that time. Without eagerness, there is nothing in Krishna consciousness. So because it is such an important item, the Bhakti Rasamrita, the Bhajan Rahasya highlights this now and talks about the humility and the eagerness of the devotees in verses from the Stota Ratna. These are compositions of Yamunacharya. I see no other refuge than you, O Lord, and so I'm crying here before you without stopping. Punish this worthless soul as you think fit, for you are my master and you hold my fate in your hands. And then a very nice verse, which is also very, very nice. O Infinite One, I have been drowning in this material ocean for so long, but now I have finally found its shore, you. You too, O Lord, have made an important discovery for you today. Today you have found the most fallen soul, the perfect recipient for your unlimited mercy. It's me. This is eagerness. This is an honest declaration. Imagine you are in an ocean. I read a few months ago something which a devotee sent me. It was a real real adventure of one American lady who had had rented a canoe in the Philippines and had gone out on the ocean she wanted to a canoe for half an hour, but she got captured by a stream and stayed 14 days in the ocean without being found. And she describes seeing sharks, her canoe collapsed and she somehow held tight to it. It broke when the storm was there. And she describes what she felt after 14 days when she saw the sand the beach of an island. She describes that. All my nerves, all my cells in my body, all my everything was pulling me towards that sandy beach which was glowing and which was beset with boring tourists. I only wanted that beach, nothing else. This is called eagerness, which comes when a devotee, when you are coming out from a dangerous situation. So therefore, the Vaishnava literature will always have a solid dose of disturbing realism, where the where the world is not described the way our false ego interprets it for us. The world is described in Vaishnava literature as a place where only Hare Krishna, I just wanted to start into a real rally against the world. I will not do this for you, you can do it for yourself. The world is described as a place of death. The body is described as a place where desires sprung up which bind me to the world, and so on and so forth. It is very, very, it's a turbulent, terrible ocean of material existence in which a devotee feels he has lost his way. This is important. And I believe here is the Scheideweg, the Krishna consciousness movement comes to a crossroad. Some will say, I don't agree, at least not for the next 10 years, with this perspective. And they will go and practice Krishna consciousness like a religion, something where you make Krishna your, point of your, a member of your life, where you pray to Krishna, yes, Krishna, help me go through my life, send me a wife or a husband, and help me please to just get my things together and a Nikon camera for the memories, memory photos, and so on. Most Hare Krishnas have gone this road of compromise because the eagerness which made them join has been replaced with practical needs to settle in the world. Only very few, and I hope that there is one or two souls amongst you here, will go the other way and understand, no, I'm not, it's not right that God is meant to be my servant for my material life, but no, I turn to Krishna and serve him and wish to have the salary of love from him. This is very important. Without this eagerness, you cannot become a devotee of Krishna. Hare Krishna. After saying so much, we will end on a very upbeat thing. But this is very important. Think about it. You have come to a retreat. I'm sorry. You need some bombs to explode in your conceptions bring you some new points. As stated by Bilva Mangala in Krishna Kanamrita, the devotee prays for blessings. My dear devotees, it doesn't matter if we are some fallen, but we can pray for blessings. And this is how this section ends. Folding my hands over my head, I beg you, O Krishna, speaking freely with the courage given me by a humility that has no other outlet. O ocean of mercy, O Lord, soak me just once with your compassionate glance. When the devotee understands realistically, I am a normal person, I am very fallen, he will begin to pray like this. Without you, I have no chance, but with you, I have every chance. O ocean of mercy, O Lord, soak me just once with your compassionate glance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about this. With hands folded over his head, this rascal cries out aloud with sincere humility. Sobbing, he says, O merciful Lord, please be kind to me. Cast your merciful glance on me just once, and thus save my life. Please repeat. O merciful Lord, please be kind to me. Cast your merciful glance on me just once, and thus save my life. This is the secret of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan during this period of the day. Now, some of my listeners will feel hopeless after having heard the sharp, biting criticism and having heard about the fork of the road. Some may feel a sense of hopelessness and, oh, yes, maybe he is right, maybe I just don't want to accept it. But, you know, I don't want to leave you like this, because this is not the point of bhakti. Bhakti is not about being very qualified. Bhakti is about turning for help in a loving way. Never forget this. We hear always of very unusually and unqualified devotees who get the mercy. Also, please don't worry. Sometimes devotees say, "Yeah, Maharaj, I remember sometimes I'm in this mood that I really fold my hands over my head and I freely cry out with the courage given to me by humility, that please look in my direction and give me your mercy." But sometimes I don't have this mood. Dear devotees, don't be frustrated. It's natural. We are human beings. Watch out for that association in which you can get such a mood. Watch out for such good devotees who walk by you, who are examples of eagerness. Watch out for prayers where eagerness is explained. I would like to end with telling you a starting realization, and I want to request our Gopal to come in the meantime forward, because we will end with a bhajan, and Gopal has come here. Are there other bhajan talents? Yeah, please, the talents, young talents, come forward. Please sit with me. Don't be shy. We are in the same family. Sit here. Okay. Good. Something which I personally discovered, and I want to share this with you. Again, I will describe it in a personal story. I'm not doing it to bring attention towards my personality, but I think when talking about a fallen soul, it's best to talk about oneself and not offend the audience. I was once with a group of devotees on a journey to Muktinath, high in the Himalayan mountains. And you must know that at 3 o'clock the Himalaya winds start. That means from the cold mountains you're going up, and the winds come from the other way. And they are very, very strong. And if you are, for instance, on a cliff, walking on a cliff, and the wind catches you, many people have been killed by those winds. So you absolutely, by walking in the Himalayas, you absolutely want to be home at before 3 o'clock or latest 4 o'clock. Now, I was walking, I was a little weak, I had the fast auto on that day, I was coming into this time, and then I saw next to me a man with a horse galloping past me. And I wanted to do horse stop and said, hey, please take me. He just looked back and just shook his head and just continued on in full gallop because he wanted to be home before the storms came. And at that time I was remembering my own horse, Max, with whom I used to gallop when I was young. And I was desiring to have a horse which would bring me quickly to Muktinath, it was, I believe, Jomsen, one station before Muktinath. But no horse came, and I had to go on all my four legs, and I never forget this. The wind was so strong, I had to somehow make it, and there was an abyss just on my left side. But anyways, not good in high altitudes, and to just crawl by so that the wind could not throw me. So later I read in Raghunath Das Goswami's writings something about horses, which helped me very much in my bhajan. He said, "May the swift horse of Rupa Goswami's thoughts carry me quickly to my beloved couple Radha and Krishna." And this swift thoughts you can learn by reading sacred literature like Bhajan Rahasya or Rupa Goswami's wonderful writings and scriptures and so on. And you will immediately, when you read these prayers, become touched by the contents of the prayers and also develop these divine sentiments and eagerness. Are you with me at this point? When you read a prayer of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, some prayer like, "Oh, another day has passed, another hour has passed." You imagine him sitting there and lamenting. And after some time, some of that mood of eagerness will come into your heart. Most properly, your heart will be melted first, and then the eagerness will start to flow. We have frozen hearts, that's our problem. But when we read these expressions from the acharyas, their frozen hearts will melt and will start flowing in the right direction. Don't worry, it will happen. Don't worry, please don't worry. Just like when you jump on a horse, then you are about, I don't know, 20 times as fast as you are when you are on the foot, walking on foot. When you jump on a prayer by exalted souls or jump into a prayer, then you will be carried by the moods of this prayer much faster than you ever can hope to be carried. So if you want eagerness to enliven your life, to enter your corpse-like existence, then it is very befitting that you read such valuable literature as Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati, Rupa Goswami's writings, and so on and so forth. And you will see that these Vaishnava Granthas will never disappoint you in your desire to fill up your, to first melt your frozen heart and then fill it up with valuable bhakti. You will see that. It has been experienced over the centuries and so on. It's experienced in all types of even the non-Hare Krishnas, like the Sufis and Christians, they know of that power and they do this. They read the literature of Rumi. We have devotees from Persia who express so nicely the eagerness. For instance, "Oh Lord, I'm so happy you made me like a frog." The frog sits on the bottom of the pond and only needs to open his mouth and all the water and food which he needs comes to him. In the same way, "Oh Lord, you made me like a frog. I only need to open my mouth and chant your holy names and then everything I need will come to me." This is a Sufi prayer. In Sufism, you are supposed to pray this prayer, and after some time, something comes in your heart. Christians know it. Why don't the Hare Krishna know this? Why do the Hare Krishna ignore this? What are we? Hare Krishna. I have to a little bit try to speak very humble to you. It's very valuable. Some mood will come in you, which will carry you like a swift horse, which carries you up the Himalayan mountains and brings you in safety that the storms of Maya can't shake you. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. this Bhajan Rahasya is actually a prayer composition. It's a lot about prayer. And therefore, I wanted to end with eagerness, which is the prerequisite for heart prayer. We can't do just lip prayers. Eagerness makes a lip prayer into a heart prayer. And now we will sing. I want to now thank all the audience. Thank you very much that you have come. Many unknown faces here. You give our hearts great pleasure. You please come tomorrow also, or the day after tomorrow, as you wish. Please know that this Govardhan retreat is very wonderful. While you are here, please look at Giriraj, spend some time chanting your rounds. We also have prasadam, and we will try to feed you with whatever we have. We hope that the fire of hunger will be satisfied in your stomachs. And now we will sing a song of Rupa Goswami, the first lines of it. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite. Samudala Rati Varana Veshe Hari Nishkuta Brin Davi Pineshe Radhe Varana Veshe Hari Nishkuta Brin Davi Pineshe Jai Radhe Jai Jaya Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite. Jaya Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite. Jaya 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 Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite. Shabanu dati nava shashileke lalita saki guna ramita vichake. Shabanu dati nava shashileke lalita saki guna ramita vichake. Lalita shaki guna ramita vishake. Hey, Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite Gokula Taruni Jaya Jaya Sri Radhe Jaya Jaya Sri Radhe Jaya Jaya Sri Radhe. Ah! We had to sing like this because in the land of Vrindavan, Vrindavaneshwari's mercy makes everything possible. In Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada says devotees pray Moto Radha Rani so that she will obtain the mercy, that give us the mercy that our bhajan can get some eagerness and some life. So thank you very, very much for your kind open ears. Hare Krishna, wish you a nice day. Haribol.